We're going to be in the book of Proverbs today, and I wanted to start with Proverbs 3. Do y'all normally stand when he reads the scripture? What do you do at your church? You do? Okay, let's stand. I'm going to read the scripture. We're going to do Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 12 this morning. All right, I have a new King James Version. If you have a different Bible version, feel free to follow along in your version. It starts, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Let's pray together this morning. Father God, I just pray that you be with this service this morning. I pray that you would use me, Lord, as a conduit for your word. Help me to speak only the things that you would have me to speak. Help to open the hearts and minds of those that are here this morning, Lord, to hear it. Just pray that you would breathe fresh life into these words this morning, into this gospel, and help it to change our lives. Help us to seek to turn towards you because of your word. In Christ's name we ask this morning. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I really need the book of Proverbs. I need this whole book, but I need the book of Proverbs very much. Our Sunday school class at our church, and I'm a Sunday school teacher at our church, I go to Mountain View, we are using the Bible Studies for Life, the King James Version. Are any of y'all using that book where you've been studying Ecclesiastes lately? No, okay, a few of you are. Okay, all right. Very good, because I told Justin, I said, we're actually in a study of Ecclesiastes, which is also Solomon. I said, this is a really good study. So I said, I'm kind of tempted to just go into that. And I said, but I was thinking about doing Philippians, and I've been toying with Proverbs 3. And he said, well, just do what you feel the Lord leading you to do. And I said, well, I'm going to kind of, so I just didn't respond to him. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm going to hit on this, because I think this is really important stuff. So we're going to talk about Solomon and about Proverbs, and maybe hit a little on Ecclesiastes as well. And we'll be out by 2 or 3, I promise. Okay. My family snuck in at the end, so I don't know that y'all have met my wife. It's my wife, Megan. She was supposed to be working nursery at our church today, and they had enough people that didn't need her, so she's here, and that's why she's wearing jeans. She was prepared to be spit up on, you know, like any good nursery worker. So, and we've got our 3 boys, Mason and Ben and Colton, are here. So that's a big part of the reason I need Proverbs. Okay, when I look at my life today, I have a lot of responsibilities. Anybody out there have a lot of responsibilities? That's probably, most of us can raise our hands to that. I've got 3 kids that I need to be able to teach, as you say, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, right? For a living, I manage people's finances. I literally manage a lot of people their entire life savings. That's a lot of responsibility, okay? I'm the head of my household, so I have responsibility to my wife, to my children, to try to do the right thing. Try to be a good leader for them. I have responsibility to my clients to try to do the right thing, to try to guide them in the right ways when things are scary and when they're not sure what to do. And so I need somewhere to get that information from. A lot of us, we look to our parents for that, but my dad passed away last year, and I can tell you after my dad passed away, I needed Proverbs a lot more than I did before my dad left. It wasn't that my dad was a great Bible scholar. It was just that I had somebody to kind of go back to there. I still got my mom, but it's not the same thing for me as a man. I need my dad. And so I, you know, had a realization when he passed, gosh, who fills that role? And I looked, and there's my father-in-law, and there's friends I have, they're guys, and our pastor, but nobody can really fill that role. But you know who can fill that role? God can fill that role for us, right? When we don't know the answer, we can turn to the Lord. And so I really need Proverbs. I have a lot of things that I need answers. I need wisdom. I need understanding. And so I come to this book, and this is one of the things that I've been doing in my own life, in my Bible study. I get up at 6 in the morning, and I read the newspaper, and I pray and I read the Bible, and then I exercise, and then I get ready and take kids to school and go to work. And I'm looking through that each morning and trying to search. One thing I'm trying to do with it is something a friend of mine taught me to do. He said, you know, you need to really meditate on that verse. And I'm pretty guilty of going, okay, I'm going to read two pages of the Bible today. I'm going to start with the next chapter I haven't gotten into. I'm going to read that one. I'm going to read this page and that page, and I'll stop when I get the next chapter. And that's good because you read the Bible that way, but it's bad because so much of the time you read stuff and you don't ever stop and think about, what does this mean that I'm reading? You know, what is God saying to me? So the thing I'm trying to do, and I fail at this a lot, but I'm trying to slow down, read a small portion at a time, take that portion, meditate on that, pray about it, and say, God, you know, what is this, what am I reading here? What is this saying to me? And the other thing I'm trying to do, and this is the part I'm really bad at, is to listen and say, God, what are you trying to say to me? And that's hard. When you're busy, when you've got responsibilities, when you have a lot to do, it's hard to meditate on that portion and say, God, what is it you're trying to say to me? There's a couple verses that speak a lot to me. I do a lot of verses with my kids. We do memorization. And Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your paths. That verse really speaks to me tremendously. And the other ones are Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm going to tell you, that has a lot of meaning to me because I tend to be, when I'm working or making decisions or whatever, for whatever reason, I tend to be anxious. And so I have to stop a lot of times, and I'll sit at my desk or car or wherever I am and just go, okay, I'm just going to stop. Think this verse, pray this verse. I know that God's got whatever this is. But I have to remind myself to do that. That's hard to do. So I say all that to say I really need Proverbs. I need the wisdom that's in this book. And when we look at Proverbs, we know it's written by Solomon. Okay, there's three parts of the Bible that we attribute to Solomon. Song of Solomon, okay, which you don't hear preached about in church a whole lot. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, okay. I would say that Song of Solomon is going to be extremely upbeat. Ecclesiastes, some people view it as kind of a downer, right? Our Sunday school study of that has actually shown the opposite, that what Solomon does in Ecclesiastes is he seeks to basically go through all the bad things, or actually the things that we would think of as good, the wealth, the wisdom, the stuff, all these things that we think of as life as bringing purpose, goes through and by process of elimination shows that while they can be enjoyable and can bring pleasure, they don't truly bring purpose, but that the only thing that truly brings purpose is what? God, right? The Lord is the thing that can truly bring purpose into our lives. So is what Ecclesiastes does. And Proverbs really gets into discussion of wisdom. So as we're in the beginning of Proverbs here, he's speaking, and we see this open, and he starts out with talking to, who's he talking to? He says in the very beginning of the text, my son, right? So it's like he's speaking to a son. My son, do not forget my law. Now let's think a little bit about who Solomon is. So remember, Solomon I'm going to open this up. Okay, we're going to break the formal barrier here. Solomon is the son of who? David. Solomon's the son of David and who? Bathsheba. What were David's three big sins? One of them was with Bathsheba. The other one had to do with Bathsheba, which was he did what? Yeah, he had her husband murdered, right? He put him out there on the front line. He tried as hard as he could. So David had relations with Bathsheba, and then to cover it up, tried as hard as he could to make it look like it had been her husband. He refused because he was a man that we believe seeking to be a man of valor. And so then David sitting in the front lines had him killed. Okay, do you remember what David's third sin was? This is the one most people miss. It was the census, right? And my wife knows this one well, and we've talked about it in Sunday school, taking the census. And so God said, don't do this. And as punishment for it, he gave him one of three choices, right? And he chose to have a plague upon his land for a period of time. Many people passed away or died. But So we know that Solomon is the second son of David and Bathsheba, right? The first son, what happened to the first son? Died, right, as the punishment for what David had done. And so we see that God had judged him harshly. And so Solomon comes, and David in many ways in his life had been very loyal to the Lord, very loyal to God. And so Solomon has this life where he accumulates great amounts of things. But one of the first things that happens to him is he goes in, there's a lot of, kind of upset and battle and things going into the kingship. But he goes into the kingship, and God appears to him. And God grants him what? Wisdom, right? And it's interesting, if we look at 1 Kings 3 here, we see that Solomon, we know that Solomon did some other things to sin, but it says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Sounds good. Except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. So the first thing we learn about Solomon is that Solomon is not perfect, is he? He's not perfect. So it's important to remember this, because there's kind of a huge, what I think of as a huge irony as we look at Proverbs, we look at Ecclesiastes, we look at Solomon. Solomon is granted great wisdom. It says that Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? Solomon said, you've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Okay, and so God comes and says, this is a very smart thing you've asked for. This is a very wise thing. Because you asked for this, you didn't ask for long life, nor have you asked for riches, nor the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And then Solomon awoke, and indeed had been a dream. And so he has God appear to him, and so God gives him wisdom. He says, essentially, you have wealth, you'll have honor, you have all these things that a human being could want. Solomon literally has it all. He has 700 wives. He has 300 concubines. Okay, he has wealth beyond measure. He has great wisdom. The irony of that is Solomon still, throughout his life, struggled with staying true to the Lord. Well, what happened? Well, his wives turned him. We see that throughout the Bible, she's paying attention to the three-year-olds, and I'm noticing. Throughout the Bible, we see the women turn to the men, right? So we see it starts with Eve, and Adam, and Adam says, she made me do it, and God says, yeah, I don't want to buy that, right? But we see this here as well. So we see that he marries all these women, and these women, he marries foreign women, and they worship foreign what's? Gods. They worship foreign gods, and so they start to turn him. And so, to keep these people happy and whatever, he builds these places where they can sacrifice to their gods, and slowly that turns him from God. Now, I say that to say that Solomon knows all the right things to do. He just doesn't do them. Because there was only one perfect person in history. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Solomon has great wisdom. He's not perfect. He's not Jesus. So the ultimate wisdom is Jesus. But we still have Proverbs, which can give us very good information to live from, that teaches us to follow God. Okay? And that's what I want to speak on today, is some of this beginning of Proverbs. You'd think I would have marked my place in my Bible, but I did not. All right. So we're going to start at the beginning of chapter 3 here. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. So my son, so he's speaking to his son. Now, we know that when Solomon sins against God, God says, you've amassed all of this. I have given you all of this, and yet you have turned from me. Does he just zap him like this? No, a lot of times God doesn't make the punishment immediate, right? And so what he says is the thing that is valuable to Solomon, he's amassed all this in his life, and like a lot of us, what does he want to do? He wants to pass it on to his kids, right? He wants to pass that on. He's amassed this great wealth, this fortune, this kingdom. He's going to pass it on. And God says, no, you're not going to get to do that. And he passes this along. So in this point, Solomon's teaching, you know, if he's saying my son, he's teaching his son here. Now, does the son listen? No, not really. Do our kids always listen to us? No, not really. Yeah, see, he's shaking his head. He knows. My son, do not forget my law. He's not talking about Solomon's law. He's saying the law of God, the word of God, and keep my commandments. And if you remember, those of you that are studying through Ecclesiastes, the final thing, the final idea that Solomon comes to in Ecclesiastes, he said, I've looked at everything else, and the thing I know is that we are to fear God and keep my commandments, which is exactly what it says right here. Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Now, a funny thing about following the Bible. If we follow the Bible, okay, does the Bible promise that life's always going to be easy? No, it doesn't. It doesn't promise life will always be good. But typically, when we follow God's word and seek to do the things that God has us to do, what God says here through this is that long life, length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Now, he doesn't say that your life will always be peaceful, right, that you'll always get along, but you'll have the peace of God, right? Even when things are difficult, hopefully for you, there is a sense of peace that comes in knowing that we did what was right according to the word of God. Okay, and so that's what he's saying here. Peace I will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And the mercy and truth here we can think of in two different ways. We can think of the mercy and truth that comes from God to us. Whereas God has extended mercy to us. We are sinners. We are saved solely by grace, as we know from Jesus Christ who died for our sins. So as the mercy is extended from God, the truth of God's word comes to us. The other part of that is the mercy of Solomon. He's speaking to a son. And that son is going to be a leader. He's going to be a king. Okay, just as we are leaders, as I'm a leader in my household, as I'm a leader for those that I serve, for my Sunday school class, maybe for clients as well, they view me as a leader. And so as a leader, I'm supposed to always keep mercy and truth very, very close to me. It says, bind them around your neck, kind of like a tie or like a necklace, something that's very close to us, right? It's there with us all times. And then it says, and write them on the tablet of your heart. That heart being in an idea here of the inner part of our being, the most important thing to us. So we're supposed to draw those very closely to us. So we're supposed to be merciful to those we work with. If we have employees that are doing things that are frustrating us, we're supposed to be merciful. If we have clients or customers or patients that are doing things that drive us nuts, right, or our kids or whatever, we're supposed to be merciful, right? We're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to love. That's an important lesson for us because it's very hard sometimes to be merciful. It's hard to forgive. We're supposed to be true, which means that we're supposed to seek to do what we know to be right, even when it's difficult. Right? So we bring mercy and truth and bind them around our neck, write them on the tablet of our heart, and so we find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now that's a really important point because as we are seeking mercy and truth, and we're doing what God views as right. Typically, God rewards people that do things that are according to His word, right? We don't do those things simply for reward, but we know that if we don't see reward in this life, we see in heaven when we try to seek to do what God wants us to do, okay? But the other thing is that from a practical standpoint, when you look at people that you view as just and true and honest, people that are kind and loving to others, do you hold them in high or low esteem? Usually high esteem, right? The world, in theory, seeks to honor people that are honest and true. Now, we know that sometimes we honor people that are not honest and true as well. But usually, eventually, we find out when those people are lying to us, You see that in the news every day. We see where somebody's done stuff that's wrong. It's caught up with them eventually. And we see, but however, that the people that are practicing mercy and truth are honored in the sight of God and of men. And then 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. It's hard to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I struggle with that. I don't know if you struggle with that. But sometimes in life it doesn't seem like things are going the way they should. And so when things are not going the way they should and you pray to God and you say, God, I need this. God, I need this to happen. You know, and God, why aren't you doing this? And you feel like you're not getting the answer that you're asking for, so what do? Well, you decide, okay, well, God's not giving me this. I'm going to take care of this problem my way. Right? But the problem with that is then we're not trusting in God with all of our heart. And this says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, here's the funny thing about that. We have an idea of how our lives are supposed to go. Okay? And we ask our kids sometimes, what do you want to be when you grow up? Anybody remember asking your kids or your grandkids that? You remember when you were asked that? I used to want to be a veterinarian. I want to be a marine biologist. I'm sure at some point I would be a fireman because everybody wants to be a fireman, right? At some point they see a fire truck, it looks nice. You know, there are all these different things that we want to be. Okay? But just because we want that doesn't mean that that's what God wants. Okay? So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So just because you think it's something is the way it's supposed to be doesn't mean that's what God wants. So when you're praying for something, you're trusting in God, and you're saying, God, why aren't you making this happen? What's wrong? Why am I not getting my way? It's possibly because it's not God's way. And you say, but I know this is what God would have me to do. This is the right thing. Maybe so, but maybe the plan that you have is not related to what God's actual plan is in your life. And that's a really hard thing for us to grasp. We're praying for something. We know we're not praying for something that's against God. Yes, but maybe that plan we have is not God's plan. God has a plan. It's a better plan. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So if we seek after doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord, then God will show us what is right. How do we seek knowledge for God? Seek knowledge from God. Prayer, what else? Read the Bible, what else? Go to church. Yeah, talk to other believers, right? If you have questions about things, talk to the believers. Pray to God. Read your Bible. That's why I said Proverbs is so important. Right here is the direct word of God. It's filtered through Solomon and filtered through the translators through the years, but it's the direct word of God. So these are the answers God has given us. He's written them down. But if we seek, we have to seek them to find them. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we see the man that was the wisest man in history, the wisest man in the world, said, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. And sometimes evil is very obvious, and sometimes evil is not so obvious. But we're supposed to fear God. Now, the term fear God, as it ends Ecclesiastes, and I think as it's used here, has two meanings. Number one, we are to be actually afraid of God. Remember that. Remember the guy that was, they were going along with the Ark of the Covenant, the oxen stumbled or something, it looked like it was going to fall, and the guy reached up and grabbed it, and what happened to him? Zapped. He's gone, right? So there is a physical, reverent terror type of fear for God. But more importantly, there's an idea of reverence, of worship, of seeing that God is the creator of all things. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. And that we should be reverent to him. And we should seek to serve him. We should stay away from evil because God warns us about evil. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It's amazing. I was talking with a Sunday school member before I came over here about opioid use, and this individual's wife needs some medication that it's very hard for them to get now because there's so many people that are using drugs illegally. I'm sure many of you have probably been in that same situation. You know, I go to Walmart, if I get Sudafed now, I have to sign stuff out and all this, or most time I send my wife to get it. She gets to do all that fun stuff for me, and she has to sign all these things, and you can only get it every so often, and there's all this problem because people are doing things that those things were not intended to be done with, right? And it says here, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So if we simply Folks, I don't think there's anybody out there that says, hey, you mean it's really bad for me to take 18 times what I'm supposed to take of this medication? You mean heroin is really hard on you? It's not good for your body? I don't think anybody's saying this. People that are doing these things, they know they're wrong. They know they're evil. Sometimes they just kind of gently slide down that path and they get into a worse and worse situation. They realize they're trapped. They're addicted, right? But the reality is we know these things are evil. We just may not notice it at the beginning. But as we get further into those things, whatever it is, you know what's your temptation. But we know that those things do that. And when we do those things, it's not good for our bodies. It's not good for our minds. And it says here, however, if we fear the Lord and depart from evil, if we stay away from evil, if we do the things God tells us to do, it is physically good for our bodies. Right? It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So honor the Lord with your possessions. Great, you need to sell all your stuff and give it to the church. Right? That's gonna help the budget a lot. Okay. No, that's not it. But it is saying that we need to think. As we went through the study of Ecclesiastes, we see that God doesn't say to us that you cannot, God doesn't say, oh, if you're rich, can't be a Christian. If you're wealthy, if you've got $100,000 or $1 million or whatever your version of rich is, can't be wealthy, can't do it. Doesn't say that, but he does say to honor the Lord with your possessions. Okay? And so as we have things, and the second part of this is a part we want to focus on, with the first fruits of all your increase. So as we gain things, we're to tithe. We have the idea of giving back, right? And we give not the worst. As we go through the Bible, we see over and over again, we're not supposed to give the least. We give the most. We give the first part of what we get to God. We give the best to God, right? And so this is repeating that same idea here. Honor the Lord with our first fruits of all your increase, with your possessions. So your barns be filled with plenty. And the amazing thing about that, when we do that, and I've actually seen this in my life, and many of you have probably seen this in your lives as well, when we give to God first, when we put Him first in the kingdom, when we give to others, because we know that that's what God would have us to do, we've seen that come back, right? I can tell you many times I've seen that come back. And maybe it's immediate, maybe it's further down the road, but we see that God rewards that. And once again, right here in Proverbs, He's telling us that I will reward that. Your barns be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. All right. I have a saying in my house which goes, you are going to get a whooping if you don't stop that. Okay? Yeah, look, Mason's smiling. Yeah, you are, aren't you? Yeah. Yep. We had that discussion at breakfast this morning. I am fed up with what the two of you are doing. If you don't stop, the next person that does it is getting a whooping. Didn't we have that discussion, Mason and Ben? Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guess what? God gives whoopings too. Okay? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights. So, and you all are either at the point or past the point of having had children, you understand this idea that the reason we do these things is because we're trying to teach our kids not to do the bad stuff. Right? The kids don't understand this yet because they're young, but they kind of do. That you do these bad things because the idea is, kind of the way we look at parenting, we let some things slide for a little while, but after a while we have to say, okay, enough is enough, because we want to fix these problems before they get into what? Bigger problems, right? So we try to address the little behaviors before we're dealing with a meth addiction, or before we're dealing with something that we can't fix. At the point where my kid's in jail, I can't fix that. Guys, remember that. At the point where you're in jail, I can't fix it. Okay? That's why we're fixing the breakfast behaviors now. But God does the same things to us. God tries to show us things. And by tries to show us things, I mean He shows us things. Now, the difference between me and God is there's a point where I can't fix it with the kids, where I can't do anything else, and I tried to show them. God can. God can change it. All right? But God will allow things in our lives that we don't like. And it's very frustrating. And you pray about it, and God doesn't do anything about it. Amen. Has anybody had that happen? Yeah, it's very, very frustrating. But God is showing you something. okay? And he's showing me something. So he allows these correction, he allows these difficult things to happen, and it's his way of providing correction for us. So remember, as you're encountering frustrations this week, as you're encountering difficult things in your life, why am I encountering this? Is it against the will of God that I'm doing this? It may not be. Is God showing me something? Is he teaching me something? Okay? That may be what's happening to us. So as we go through and we see this, we see here, I mean, if you basically stop right there at verse 12, that's pretty much everything you would need to be successful in life, right? I mean, it says, don't forget my law. Okay, so obey God, but let your heart keep my commands. If you follow God's word, if you seek to do what he tells you to do, you'll have the right kind of life that we need to have. He goes through and tells us how to trust in him. Don't forget about mercy and truth. Don't forget about treating other people the way you want to be treated. Do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, don't be arrogant. Don't be smarter than everybody else. Don't be above what God knows. We know what we know, but there's a lot of things we don't know that God knows that we can learn from. Honor God. Give back to God. Give back to our communities. Give to other people. Help them. When we do that, it turns around and does good for us. And don't despise the teachings of God. When he teaches us, let our hearts and minds be open to his teaching. All right, so we have pretty much most of the message of the Bible summed up in just a few verses there. That's one of the reasons I really like Proverbs. There's so much wisdom to be gained. So I want to encourage you this week as you go from here, if that's not a book of the Bible you're exploring regularly, go through and read. No matter our age, no matter our stage in life, there's so much we can learn from the book of Proverbs. And as you read, think about going through and meditating on little sections of the scripture. You know, a verse, maybe two verses at a time. Stop and think about, God, why did you bring this verse to my heart today? Why is this here? What are you trying to say to me? What's the message you're giving me through this verse today? We're going to have a time. I'm going to pray. We'll have a time of invitation. If there's something that God's laid on your heart that you need to share with me, if there's something you need to come and pray about, I'll be glad to be here and pray with you. You're welcome to come to the steps here and kneel and pray at the front of the congregation as well. So let's pray and we'll close our time together this morning. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here at Four Bush. And I just pray that you would help us to just be open-minded to you, Lord. Help us to open our hearts to the message that you've given us. Just pray as we look through the study of Proverbs, as we see the words here, Lord, that you just help us to remember to honor your laws, to obey your commandments, to seek to put you first in our lives. We pray for Brother Justin and his family. I just pray for quick healing for them, Lord, if it be your will. And just pray for us as we go from this place today. And be with us during our time of closing. In Christ's name we ask it this morning.